If I had a shirt, if I could have made a shirt to deliver a message with today, it would say under construction. Because we're always evolving and getting better at our communication. I certainly have not mastered it. You can look at my wife and if she nods her head, I am developing a strength in communication. We want to become stronger communicators. Amen? So we're going to be talking about this. I want to pray and then we're going to get into a scripture. Father, we just thank you for being here. Holy Spirit, thank you for the voice that you provide in our life. Thank you for the influence. Thank you, God, for opening up our understanding to communicate better. God, we become more effective when we lean on to the practical principles that you've laid a foundation for when it comes to hearing, understanding, and moving forward. So God, we thank you today that you're equipping all of us to gain a revelation, an understanding, a principle, a tactic, something to utilize to make us more effective communicators, not just in our marriages, but in our everyday lives, God, because you have purposed us to be able to communicate and deliver things effectively in you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want to go through a scripture. It's in your notes, but I would love to touch on it. And I have some, I'm going to skip through some parts of it because it's lengthy, but I want you to do this. Sunday should not be something that should tickle your ear and leave your tomorrow. It should be something that you take and you take apart through the week and that you ask the Holy Spirit to direct you. You may get more out of the message today on Friday if you take what's given to you and you ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation in it. Amen? So this scripture is a good takeaway in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 through 31. And I might skip some in here, so don't get upset for those of us that are scholars saying, I can't believe you skipped a scripture. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and the renewing of the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and to give the And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Wow, let's breathe. The Holy Spirit in his communication is about making you and walking out the new man in you by putting off the necessity to be right, but the desire to be in him. Communication to me is defined as this. It's this. Communication is the transmission of what's on your heart and your mind that you want to share or communicate with another. Before we get into some 3 points, I feel like God speaks to us in 3 major components when we deliver the spoken word or as we deliver in communication. It's these: to give information. To give information in order to inform somebody of something. Or another one is speaking empathy, speaking of the feeling that someone might, so that you might be aware of someone's current state, their mood, or even their reality. Remember, not your reality, their reality. Or conflict resolution, revealing problems for the purpose of getting it off your chest or to create a solution. So before we get into these, I would love to invite my wife up, my beautiful wife. It's her birthday on Tuesday. Let's give her a hand clap. She's amazing, beautiful, full of grace and knowledge. And these are some helpful hints, not just to husbands and wives, but really to help you communicate both from both perspectives, from both languages and interpretations of those languages. Amen? Without further ado, Pastor Judy.
Thank you, babe. There's many ways, like Pastor Joey said, that we communicate. Words can hurt, they can heal, they can build up or tear down. So it's important to ask yourself these few things if you're taking notes. Is what I'm saying kind? Is it necessary? Is it uplifting? Is it building up? Is it tearing down? Or do you just need to bite your tongue because you really want to say something, but you probably shouldn't? So it's so important to pray and ask for wisdom. Like Pastor Joey said, I have a birthday coming up soon. And every year when people are like, what do you want for your birthday? Well, from Jesus, I'm always like, God, heal me more. Give me more freedom and give me more wisdom. Because just because you age doesn't mean you're more wise. Can I get an amen on that? So like the story of Joseph in the Bible, I love that because I feel like when he was so excited to share his dreams with his brothers, he didn't necessarily have the wisdom into knowing how they would react, that they would be jealous of him and that it would come at a cost. So it's so important when you're sharing with someone that they understand your purpose. Amen? So words are the number one thing that we regret saying, but it can also be the most life-giving, and the choice is ours. Some of us are more outspoken than others. Some of us have a fear of expressing. My son is more introvert, and he's like shy. And did anyone take a second language in school, like Spanish, Latin, etc., Italian? And I remember asking my son, like, so what are you going to take? Because my daughter took Spanish, and he's like, I'm going to take sign language because there's no talking. There's no talking. So I'm signing up for sign language, and he loved it. It's just the way that he communicates, and it's just the way that he does. But one of the things that can get us in trouble is assumptions. Tell your neighbor, assumptions. So we don't always judge what someone says to us, but we judge the motives and the tone from which comes behind from what they said. So never assume, here's one thing, men, this can save your life. Never assume a woman is pregnant unless it comes out of her mouth that she is pregnant, or unless you see the baby already, like, I didn't even know you were pregnant. Because I remember after I had my daughter, and I was like, maybe she was like maybe a few weeks old, and I had her in the car seat next to me, but the person didn't see the car seat. And they just come up to me like, oh, you're like maybe 3 or 4 months pregnant. And I'm like, that's so rude. You just assumed. My child is right here. Okay. So tell your neighbor, assumptions get you in trouble.
That's right.
Okay. Here's another point that can save your life. Never argue through text or email. It doesn't matter who capitalizes the most, where you're saying, like, I'm yelling at you now, all my letters are in caps, or I use the most exclamation marks to really tell you off, or I use really angry bitmojis to tell you that I'm upset. Don't do it. Not through text or email. I made the mistake of like having like this really good comeback to my husband, and I sent it to the wrong person. And they're like, oh my gosh, Pastor Judy's like upset with me. And I'm like, sorry, it wasn't for you, it was for my spouse. And then they're like, what? So don't do it. When it's something personal, it's better to have a face-to-face conversation, right? Don't do it via text or email. You can read the tone wrong. You could be like, gosh, they were so rude. And they could be like, no, I don't know, understand what you're saying. This reminds me of getting this voicemail while I was at work. And it was from my doctor's office. And they're like, we just want to let you know that your MRI results came back and we found an incidental cyst in your brain. But other than that, everything's normal. And I'm at my job. So I'm like, what? You found what? And nobody's answering, and I'm calling, and I'm calling, and I'm calling. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean, an incidental finding? And like, well, we didn't mean to find it. But you did. So now WebMD says I'm dying. So what are we going to do here? So communication is so important. It's so important. So tell your neighbor, don't tell important news via email. Or via voicemail, or via text, okay? Worst thing, now I'm getting kind of into spouses. Worst thing you can do to try to prove a point in the middle of a heated disagreement. Husbands, don't try to grab the Bible and give her a Bible study to prove how right you are.
I've done it and failed. Don't repeat my mistakes.
Yeah. Don't say, well, the word says, you know, well, let me tell you what my mind says. Okay. Don't try to tell her to calm down. Oh, I hear someone. Okay. And then because if she is calm, and then you're like, what do you mean calm down? I am calm. And then you get hyped up, right? Because they're like, calm down. Like, now you're acting crazy. Well, you brought it out of me. You brought the crazy out of me. You're telling me to calm down. Okay. Here's another thing. Dr. McCray, you're going to have a lot of sessions after this. Okay. He's amazing, guys. He keeps me out of prison. So he does. He keeps me from committing crimes. I'm like, Dr. McCray. And then he like brings me back to Jesus. Like, okay, there it is. So some Christians like to use the phrase of telling them at the end, after you're done telling someone off, and then you're like, but God bless you. Lord bless you. I'll pray for you. Don't do that. Don't try to tell someone you'll bless them and you'll pray for them after you just curse the heck out of them. That is not Christ-like. No. Sometimes there is power in your shut up. Sometimes it's just shut up and pray. Amen. Sometimes, like, Lord, if I don't have nothing nice to say, then just help me pray. Just help me pray. Don't do it. It's only going to make them upset. Like, wow. Especially if they don't really know the Lord. Like, you just told me off, and then you told me God bless you at the end. They're not going to want to read your Bible. Nope. So don't do it. Be quiet. Pray for them. In a marriage, if one person loses an argument, or one person wins an argument, you both lose. Because that shouldn't be the objective of like, well, I'm right and you're wrong. I won and you lost. But if one won, then you both lost. So compete with each other on that, who can be the most right and who can be the most, win the most arguments. Compete with each other on who can outserve each other. Like who can love each other the best, who can be the most humble and quick to apologize like me. So be like, because sometimes the words I'm sorry are foreign, you know, but there's so much power. I'm kidding, but not really. But sometimes there's so much power in the words I'm sorry. There is, and so much healing, so much healing. I'm like, repeat after me, men. I am sorry. I know it tastes bitter. I know, but I promise there'll be so much freedom if you say it before she does. I promise. So compete with who can be the most forgiving, the most apologizing, the most loving, or the most like Jesus like that. And this goes in relationships outside of marriage, because if you do this, there'll be more freedom in your relationships like that. I used to pray and be like, Lord, teach my husband a lesson and show him that I am right. Wreck him. And I would like get on my knees and I'm like, yeah, wreck him. And then he would teach me a lesson and wreck me. So I stopped asking that prayer. Because he would get me. So I want to translate something for you husbands. When a wife is upset and she's kind of trying to tell you something, like, and it can come off as angry or hurtful, what she's really saying on the inside is like, I want you to hold my hand. I just want you to hold me. I just want you to say I'm sorry. I just want you to say that you need me. I just want you to love me, because your love shows that you honor me and you respect me. Now, at the moment, it can be like, don't touch me, don't look at me, I'm so upset, blah, blah, blah. But really, you know, you're welcome. I'm translating for you. You are welcome. That's a free session for you. If you want more, see Dr. McCray afterwards. But it's sometimes in the heat of the moment, what we really want to say doesn't come out. But what our heart wants to say is like, I just want to be united with you. You're my best friend. You're my lover. You're my partner, etc. But in the heat of that moment, Pastor Joey will get into it about the enemy and the deceiver with communication. So I want to close my part with this. When I was preparing for a message at a women's conference, the title was She is Beautiful. So I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to talk about, God? And he had led me to the verses in Peter, how it talked about, you know, a woman's beauty isn't defined by the adorning of her hair or the jewelry she wears, etc., but it's her quiet, gentle spirit. And I'm like, so you must not think I'm that pretty. But so I should just be quiet and then I'm pretty. And then I kept going on and on. And then it said, and her beauty comes from her submission to her husband. And I was like, oh, skip that. And I was like, God, you didn't really mean that, right? And then he's like, no, go back to that. And he's like, but I'm like, I'm going to a women's conference. You want me to talk about submission and husbands? And he's like, yeah, go back to that. He's like, because I think you're the most beautiful when you're the most submitted to your husband. Because when you're the most submitted to your husband, you're the most surrendered to my Holy Spirit.
Yeah, come on. That's good.
Come on.
That's good.
And I was like, wow. So I'm in the car and he's giving me this info and I'm like, oh, I'm crying. And my husband's like, oh, wow, the Holy Spirit's really getting her. I'm like, babe, wow, what's he telling you? I'm like, nothing. I don't want you to know. I don't want to tell you because you'll use it against me in an argument. He knows now, so he probably will bring it up. He'll be like, remember what Jesus told you, Summit woman. I'm just kidding. He doesn't talk to me that way. If he talks to me that way, that's when Dr. McCray gets calls. Okay. But you know, that's when we are. That's when he sees us, like when you trust me, when you're surrendered, when you know that. So sometimes there is power when we don't say words. There's power. Our tears can speak louder than words. And God reminded me of when Job grieved and lost his sons and lost everything. And instead of his friends coming and giving him 7 days of counseling, they sat next to him and they cried with him and they wept with him. So there's power in silence. There's power in sometimes you just being present. When you're like, I don't have the right words. And as spouses, husbands can try to like fix the wife, like, well, let me tell you how to fix you and how to not feel or how to, et cetera. But sometimes there's so much power in just being present. The Lord says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So tell your neighbor, there's power in your presence. And when we acknowledge that and pray for wisdom, then we won't give the enemy room to twist our language. We can have more freedom and healing in relationships.
Amen. 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 Give her a hand clap. I want to, before we get into these three types of communication, and these points will go pretty quickly, I want to share some stuff with men that I've learned and women to bring you into this understanding of some of us men and how we operate. Sometimes men go straight to the facts. They don't always concern themselves with the way it came out of their mouths. Come on. Yeah, I heard a couple guys say, yeah. Sometimes we're trying to get something out, but we don't listen to the way we said it. And that does not mean that we don't care, but it's also not permission for you as a man to not be sensitive to the way that she heard it. Amen? Sometimes we also, men process feelings a lot slower than women do. They do not have the communication back and forth between the feeling side of their brain and the knowledge side of their brain. So when they're feeling something, there's something in their mind that said, I'm broken, I don't know how to process. And so when we're processing, normally we get quieter. And then women want to be let in on that process. So I know you can't change the way you are in the way that you express your feelings, but you can bring her into your process. So what does that sound like? If you don't know how to express what you're feeling, say, hey, I just need a second because I don't know how to put words behind what I'm experiencing. When you do that, you bring her peace to let you know you're working on it, and you give yourself the time to process. Amen? Men usually can't do two things at one time. Come on. All the wives said amen. The men said, sure I can. As they're dropping and functioning not very well in one thing while they're trying to do the other. But what we need to do, and I'll give you two hints, this is some for the men and for the women, but it's really three things. Number one, stop what you're doing if you're a guy. Number two, if you're a wife, or number one with a wife, help him stop what he's doing. Number two, look him in the eyes. Men, look her in the eyes, pay attention. Literally, physically, put down what you're doing. Don't just pause it, turn it off. Okay, number three, ask him if he understands what you're saying, or you say, if you don't understand as a man, say, I don't understand what you're saying. Can you tell me again? If none of these work, repeat it again and again and again until you get either tired or hungry, and then you just pray. Last thing, men, don't assume your wife always wants you to solve a problem, because most of the time she just wants you to be an ear to listen. So approach the conversation, and sometimes you got to physically do it. I at least do it this way because I'm a problem solver. At least I think I am. And so built-in leadership, you're always like, you hear something and it's an issue and you're like, all right, I got a solution. So what I'll do is I'll even ask her, hang on, before you finish, do you want me to help you with something or do you want me just to listen? And then most of the time, like 80% of the time, I just want you to listen. Amen? All right. So let's get into this. Communication point one. The reason why we communicate most of the time is because we're trying to deliver information in order to inform somebody. Come on, Colossians chapter 3 says this, verse 12 and 15. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body to be thankful. You have to first put on the tender mercies, the kindness, the character of God, which is also known as the fruit of the Spirit. We have to say, God, give me the character of God, so when I'm delivering information, I'm not doing it from an insensitive dictatorship, but I'm doing it from a way to inform somebody to help them. Sometimes, if people don't know the purpose in which you're delivering information, they'll misjudge your motives. Right? You can say something and somebody's like, what the heck did you just say? What just came out of your mouth? They look at you crooked. I've said things to my wife before, and I said something trying to give information, and she looked at me side-eyed, and I was like, you just did not hear something I just said, and you're probably really ticked off right now. I don't know what to do yet, and I'll pause. I love this because when you don't understand the purpose, you misunderstand the motives. In Joshua 22, I'm going to give you a Cliff Notes version of Joshua 22 in Joey translation, if you're okay with this. Joshua 22, Joshua just conquered many different lands that belonged to the Israelites. When he conquered them, God put on his heart, give it back to some of the tribes. So there was three tribes that he was speaking to in Joshua 22. And he told them these things. These things were conquered, this land was given, and these possessions are there. And he told each one of the three tribes, the leaders, go and take the land, possess everything in it, but do not create an altar to a false god. And they went off into their territories. He communicated the information that he needed, and the people in participation with that information went into their territory. Did not seek clarification, did not communicate anything else. They went and possessed the land, took the possessions, were super excited that they got some land back. And when they were standing in that land, the first thing they did was create an altar, but not to their gods. They created an altar to the Lord, the God of Joshua, that said, thank you, God, for giving us this. We worship you. That was their first declaration in their land, was to create that. And some of Joshua's people, some of his leaders, went around to make sure that they weren't creating false idols and creating an altar for somebody. And they saw altars from a distance. And so they immediately went back to Joshua and told him they were creating altars for false gods, but they actually weren't. So Joshua came back. I can imagine him now with his vein popping out of his neck. You know how men get some type where they're angry and they can't say something and they want to do something. And he walked over. Joshua walks with his armies ready to demolish them and to take back what he gave them. And he says, how dare you create an altar for false gods? And they're like, hang on, time out, time out, time out. This is an altar for the Lord. This is what I'm doing. When you do not communicate the details in your information, the purpose is not known, so therefore your motives are wrong. We have to clarify with details the motives in which we're delivering these things so that they understand what they're saying. We'll misjudge others and their intentions when we simply do not communicate well. It's okay to take times out in your communication to say, can we clarify? Can I check and see what you heard? Because sometimes they'll hear your tone before they hear your words. I've done that, been guilty. I've walked in, I'm like in kind of like hurry up, do it mode. And I walk in the house. I'm like, all right, hey, we need to do this and we need to go there. And they're like, dang, Adolf Joey came in the door just declaring things to be done. And they hear the tone of what I'm saying before they hear the words. So they misunderstand my purpose because they don't know my motives. You have to clarify to understand. Amen. And as a hearer, when somebody's giving information, grace is the most important key when communicating. Because when two different languages are speaking, and I don't mean languages and dialects, I mean languages by the way that they hear what you're saying, you have to use grace. Grace is giving them the favor of something and not assuming the worst. So you have to have a graceful ear, a graceful heart, just like it talks about in Colossians. And this is a good excuse you'd ever want to have. Don't let I've always done it this way to be your excuse for not growing. I'm sorry. If you've done it that way, doesn't mean it's the right way. I've done a lot of things the same way for a long time. It doesn't mean it's not broken. Doesn't mean it's dysfunctional. It means that it's time to reassess because we have to evolve in the way that we communicate. Because when we communicate well, we become productive and effective. Communication was meant to be a fruit of effective kind of positioning, moving forward in the right direction. But when we cannot communicate well, we fracture that ability. Amen? Point two, when we're speaking about empathy, this is speaking of feelings in order to make someone aware of their current state of mind, their mood, or their reality. Number one, don't always assume that when somebody's telling you how they feel, that they're immediately blaming you. And don't argue with them if they're not sad or they're not angry, because that's their reality. That's not your reality, that's their reality, and it doesn't make it false just because you're not interpreting it that way. I want to read a scripture in Romans, and then I want to give you an example. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21 says this, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, honoring and giving preferences to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." These are all talking about the expression of somebody else and how they're feeling and your response in conjunction with those. When somebody's relating empathy and they're trying to speak to your feelings, you're supposed to be with them in that feeling, not try to solve their feeling and not try to direct the way that they should feel. And it says, "Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." Come on. That's mostly for the men. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Failed multiple times in my own accord and done it, and normally my opinion is right. Most arguments, my wife's right. I just choose to be right in my own opinion. Amen. We're a victor in our own minds. "Repay no one with evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord.' Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in this, doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I want to do a little illustration with you for a second. If I can have Pastor Tyler and Sam come up, they're going to help me out with this really quick. If one of you doesn't mind standing on that stair and the other one over here on this stair, will you grab one of those ends? You better come a little bit closer. I didn't make the string that long. This might look a little similar. It's okay. There's a knot in it. That's purposeful. It's okay. I learned this a long time ago from this Dr. James Lane, and it was an amazing session. But between every sender and receiver, there's a deceiver. Between everything you're trying to communicate, especially when it comes to empathy, one person's trying to communicate something, and it has to travel through a space. And in that space, the sender's trying to give them something that they want the receiver to hear, but the deceiver is in there to manipulate it. So what can happen is, and this is not true in their story, is Pastor Sam could be telling Pastor Tyler, "Hey, I'm really sad right now, lonely." And the deceiver can come in and touch that and say, "She's blaming you for the time and her sadness and everything you've done to her. And she's keeping a track of all your history of wrongs. And she's making sure that you know about it. Don't give in to it." All she said was, "I'm feeling sad and lonely." And she's trying to express her feeling, her current state or mood, her current reality to him. And she's waiting to be heard, to be understood. And the deceiver comes in and speaks his history in the area of that thing to try to manipulate the hearer from changing the outcome of this productive decision making. Thank you, guys. But instead, between every sender and receiver should be a hearer that's ready to understand. Amen? Hopefully that was helpful for a couple people. You know, this is also, this happened to me last night. Can I just be very transparent? I was in my house. It was a long day. We were going through it. And for guys, we always use "it's a long day" as an excuse for our behavior. Sorry, I'm just being very transparent about that stuff. Praise God. And you know what? I went up into our restroom. We have a restroom right next to our bedroom, and then we have one downstairs. And I normally use the restroom downstairs because the one upstairs is my wife's. Come on. Every man said, come on. And all the women are like, "That's right. You don't own anything in your bathroom. You know that, right, man?" Okay. So I go in the restroom, and then we're like, I have my food waiting downstairs, and I'm walking downstairs, and my wife's like, "Make sure you clean the restroom after every time you use it." Like, just giving me information. And then I'm like, "Do you clean it ever after every time you use it?" Now, hear this. And then she heard me say, "You never clean the bathroom." Between every sender and receiver, there is a deceiver. And I was communicating something to bring clarity. Is this a regular process? Is this a renewed process? Is this something that's changing? And immediately the deceiver spoke into her, because his point is to bring separation to your family. And I was like, no, I didn't say you never. I know, babe, I value the way that you clean. You are the cleanest person I know. That's why there is wipes, there is Clorox, there is pine salt next to every toilet, because you want it looking, smelling, and being delicious, even though it's a restroom. But anyways, we have to do it with the heart of God, amen? You got to get this too. In that verse in Romans, he's trying to get you to have a heart position. That your heart position is to communicate effectively like the Father would want you to. You can't be like Jesus, but he wants you to pursue the heart of Jesus. But we kind of compartmentalize our communication habits. I communicate this way with this heart in my workplace. I communicate this way with this heart with my kids, and I communicate it this way with this heart with these people. And we permission ourselves to disconnect ourselves from the heart of God to get things done in this place. And we dictate the way we communicate our kids because we want them to know who's boss. And we communicate with our spouse, and we disconnect our heart from it sometimes by letting them know this. But the problem with this is that God wants you to approach every part, every area of your life with the same heart in your pursuit of communication. Because it does not matter what you do in that arena, if you're acting like somebody that doesn't know him. God wants you to have the same heart and delivery when you're listening to those people, because you're hurting feelings and you're not bringing people up. Amen? Never allow your feelings or emotions to permission you to act crazy or to communicate inappropriately. Come on, we have to check this, because immediately our response, our knee-jerk response, is when something's not done the way we want it to, we immediately go and prove why it should be my way. And sometimes that creates a heart, and that heart, we should not sin in anger. We should not sin in that place, but sometimes we create that separation that way. Communication becomes fractured when everything is about me. Remember, I think Pastor Judy said it, they even said it in the video there. When somebody's right, everybody's wrong. Your communication is not about one person winning the other over, it's about the whole being better than it's ever been. Because there's two people to every participation in communication. So when we think that we've won, all we've done is lower their standards and try to elevate ours. So we become the Lord over our conversation. But in reality, God wants you to be whole. Amen? Express your feelings as something that you are working on, not as who you are. And this is both for the deliverer and the receiver. When you're expressing your feelings, you're expressing a state that you're in. It has nothing to do with who you are. And you cannot judge the person that's giving you their feelings and look at them as that's something who they are, when the reality is that's something they're working through. We have to separate and disconnect that when I'm speaking to somebody, I'm speaking to a son and daughter of God. They have great value in God's sight and therefore should have great value in my sight. No matter what they say to me, my vision should always be they're a son and daughter of God. They're a son and daughter of God. They're not what they say. They're not what they're expressing. They are who God says they are. Do not judge or take it personal when someone is expressing their current state. Sometimes you're just dealing with stuff that has nothing to do with the other person you're communicating with. Sometimes they're just the recipient of welled up emotion. And emotion is not something that should be discarded. Emotion should be a story that you're trying to work through to find what's supposed to be whole. And we have to not judge what the other person is feeling, expressing as something that they shouldn't act like that, they shouldn't feel like that. Instead, we should embrace, listen, understand, and ask them and the Holy Spirit, how do I participate? Amen? Third point. This one will go pretty quickly, but in problem solving. Revealing a problem for the purpose of getting it off your chest in order to solve it. Sometimes we try to do this, and I can just express this from a leader. Pastor Judy and I run a school of ministry. We have great leaders. I think we have over 22 or 23 leaders this year. We've grouped triple. They're amazing. Those leaders are amazing. We meet with them before every session, and we talk, we pray. Sometimes we have to give directions, things that are happening, current events. We did a leadership training last week before class. But sometimes I get in the mode because of my communication style is, all right, I have an objective, I have something I need to deliver, and then this is the next step in the process. So I look at it like a lot of men do, as a, this is what I need to do, A, B, and C, and get it done. And when I'm delivering that, sometimes I'll tell my wife, we need to do this, we need to do that, and we're going to tell them this, and we're going to go that. And she's like, slow down. Slow down for a second. Make sure that when you said that, this is what it sounded like. So when you're delivering it, you could deliver information and still make them feel cared for. And so we need each other to come sometimes bank communication off of before we solve a problem, because it's going to help holistically as a whole to elevate your delivery better. Because communication is not about what's being heard, it's about moving forward. And so we need each other. I need my spouse, because the way that she hears, the way that she communicates, can be partnered with me to make us more effective communicators as a whole. Amen? I love this example. Jesus was being pulled and being ready to be crucified, and the religious leaders took him aside. And I'm getting ready to close if our worship team wants to head out here. And as they're pulling him up, they bring him over to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate is a man that's supposed to sit on the judgment seat to rule, and he looks at facts against the law. And he looked at the facts against Jesus and said, it does not line up. And still, they were persuading him. So he sits on the judgment seat, and his spouse, some people don't really read this part, but his spouse is discerning something from the way she hears. And she goes to him to try to explain to him to not be involved with this, because the facts don't just line up, but the spirit doesn't line up. And in Matthew 27, verse 19 and 20, it says this: while he was sitting on the judgment seat, they're talking about Pontius Pilate, his wife sent to him saying, I have nothing to do with this, have nothing to do with that just man, that right man. For I have suffered many things today in my dreams because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas instead of Jesus. You got to get this. His wife was trying to help him to deliver a communication as a whole, but he disconnected himself from hearing her because he wanted to be accepted by everybody else. You have to sometimes work as a whole in solving problems. Now, it was the will of God regardless. We know that, right? Jesus had to go to the cross. That was a process that he's passing through. But we have a lot of opportunities that come through our life where we sit in a place where we can solve a problem. But if we refuse to listen to the voice that might be of reason, and we choose to be the one that gives the answer, and it's me, and it's an absolute, and it's because I said so, we become ineffective and sometimes start to fracture our communication from that point. There's another story that comes up when they're building the Tower of Babel. And all these people, we can judge, they did it in the wrong heart. They were trying to show their pride and show God that they can create something bigger than him. And yeah, their process wasn't right, but as they were creating it, they're building this structure. And how many of you guys know you need constant communication when you're building things? I need to communicate, hey, did you finish that part? Because I can't do my part until you do your part. Okay, can you hand me that apparatus, that tool? Hand it to me and let's cooperate. So communication is constant in building. And when they're communicating, they're building this structure, and it's supposed to be this beautiful thing. But what happens is that God acknowledges their heart, and he strikes them with different languages and dialects. So they're unable to communicate because they're fractured from the point of their delivery method of hearing and receiving. And so what was meant to be big and beautiful became crooked and ugly. Sometimes when we approach things, we have to ask God to help us understand people, because he wants to build something in your life. But if you cannot partner with him and the way that he wants your heart, you're going to be unable to build what was meant to be beautiful, and it's going to end up crooked. Don't allow your inability to communicate to make things that are meant to be beautiful crooked. And here are some questions that I'd love for you to ask yourself. Number one. These are good evaluation markers to find out where your communication is at today. How are your relationships? Are you making right judgments when you speak to people? Are you making judgments or incomplete or giving incomplete information? Are you communicating well? Are you just stewing in your anger? What would God have you do today to make your communication better? Because communication can be this simple: express, understand, and move forward. Because communication is about being effective not just being heard. Can you guys stand with me for a second? And as you're standing, I want you just to take a moment for you. Ignore for a second everything else around you. If it helps you to close your eyes, it normally helps me. Be present. Because we're all been subject or benefactors or burdened by either bad communication or great communication. For some of us, it's formed our lives because we've been unable to communicate or we've been able to be communicated with well. And you're in a state right now where you have a choice to be a better communicator so you can be effective. You can learn to express yourself right, to understand others and to move forward. Or you can choose to circle the same mountain you always circled when it came to communication. This is the way I've always done it. Let's strike down that strong man today that says, I'm not going to change. God will change you if you're willing to be changed. God will help you if you're willing to be helped. So let's do this. Just put your hands out and receive it. And just say this prayer with me. Stay present. Stay present. Stay present. Father, thank you for the way that you speak to me. I'm saved because I heard your voice. I have a future because you communicated it well. Give me the same ability that I had when I was saved and allow me to use it today. Help me to be present. Help me to understand people when they speak to me. Help me to make myself better. I'm ready to communicate the way that you intended. Help me to express, to understand, and to move forward. I'm ready. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we can have our prayer team come up front here.